The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Lift every voice and sing.
There have been prominent investments in historically black colleges and universities. McCoy Maker, one of the top high school prospects in the country, committed to playing basketball at Howard, and Hall of Famer Deion Sanders became head football coach at Jackson State. Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets joined in as well, offering to pay tuition for 9 Lincoln University seniors.
And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here. This is Get Up on ESPN. We come to you live every morning from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. That is Chris Canty. We have a terrific group assembled this morning. We're talking about the big NBA shocker last night and Mel Kiper Jr., who leads off our second hour. Let's hit it. It's time to get up with a shock in the mop. Mel unveiling his latest predictions live, and they are unlike any he has ever done before. You need to see it, and you will right off the top. Then, we've got insight into exactly what has been the holdup for Dak and Dallas and what it means for them going forward. And then, don't look now, but we've got trouble for LeBron's Lakers. Wait till you see what happened to them last night. You will in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And it begins with Mel Kiper Jr. Mock Draft 2.0 available right now on ESPN Plus, and it's a big day. For the first time, Mel is projecting trades, and he's got a big one right near the top. He sees Atlanta moving up from 4-2 with the Jets to take Zach Wilson, the quarterback out of BYU, and the Jets then picking 4th overall would take the tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida. More trades at 7 overall. Mel has the 49ers coming up to take Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. And wait, we're not done. At 9 overall, Mel has the Patriots. Yes, the Patriots moving up. They never take a quarterback in round 1, but he says they will, and they'll come up and they will take Trey Lance from North Dakota State. So in all, he's got those trades, and he has 5 quarterbacks off the board in the top 9 picks. You see Trevor Lawrence right there at the top. That's no surprise. Mac Jones is there at number 8. And as you might notice on your screen, the first 9 players all play offense, which is, I think, very much in keeping with the way football is played in 2021. So we've had Mel with us all morning long. Mel, here's the way we're going to structure this here. I've been asking you questions all day. I'm going to ask you a whole bunch more questions on radio today. But the rest of the squad wants to ask you some questions today, and so I'm going to yield my time to them. Dan, what is your question for Mel Kiper Jr.?
Mel, what about Mac Jones's game is vaulting him up the draft boards when he doesn't fit the mold of quarterbacking in the last 10 years in the NFL?
Well, yeah, Tom Brady fits the mold, Dan, and Drew Brees fits the mold even at their age. And I think you think about where Mac Jones is right now in terms of his accuracy to all levels. He was at over 77% against great competition. Only 17 career starts is worrisome, but the competitiveness and the intelligence, I mean, so cerebral, so smart, picked up some things so quickly down at those Senior Bowl practices, communicated to the huddle, just took command of that offense down there. So I think he's the kind of guy, and I thought about New England, you know, Belichick connection with Nick Saban is real. Obviously, the quarterback in play for the Patriots thought about that, but I had Carolina taking him because Matt Rule was with them. But if you think about that situation, if he drops past there, would New England be in play for Mac Jones because of that connection with Saban and Belichick?
To be very specific, though, about Dan's question, what he's referring to is the lack of mobility that all the other quarterbacks we see in this first round
correct
have. That second threat. When I watch Mac Jones play, though, I expect, because that is the knock on him, that he can't even walk from here to there. It doesn't look to me like he's that immobile, Mel. Give us a sense of his ability to move with the football.
Yeah, slip and slide. He doesn't have to. He's not going to be Joe Burrow running in the football and beating teams with his legs. But if you go back to that game against Ohio State National Championship in the third quarter, they had cut that to a 14-point game midway through. There was a third down at their own 35-yard line where he was pressured. Jones was. He stepped up, moved around, and got the ball to Jaleel Billingsley, the tight end, who went down to about the 40, 45-yard line and led them to a touchdown drive to make it a 3-score game. So when he needed to move move around enough to get the ball to a receiver, let him do the job running with the football after the catch. Mac Jones was able to do that. So seeing the field, vision, picking out third, fourth, fifth options, Mac Jones does that very well. And this notion that pocket passers who don't run a great 40 and aren't really athletically gifted are dinosaurs in this league, I think Tom Brady proved that completely wrong once again this year.
Dan, button that with a quick thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, hopefully he's got the obsessive personality, you know, that Tom Brady does. I'd say this, in the last 10 years, it's Patrick, it's Lamar, it's Russell, it's Andrew Luck, it's Josh Allen, it's Deshaun Watson. Like, those are the best quarterbacks drafted in the last 10 years. So Mac Jones better be, like, lights out, off the charts with ball placement, anticipation, his brains, all that stuff, because the reality is, to play really good football in the NFL and not have that mobility, you have to be an absolute superstar at those other levels.
Okay, so we'll leave that one there because I want to get everyone a question in. Chris Canty, go ahead. What's your question?
Mel Kiper, we have a problem, and I usually don't want smoke from somebody from Baltimore because I love that city. But, Mel, we can't talk about how it's a quarterback-driven league and not have the guys that get after the quarterbacks not be in the top half of the first round. In your mock draft, you don't have a defensive lineman in the top 20 picks. That hadn't happened in the last 20 years. What's up with that, Mel?
I got some crab cakes waiting for you, Chris. Settle down, pal. It's a land of pleasant living. We'll bring some of that to you today. But I think you look at the pass rushers, there's some concerns. With Gregory Rousseau opted out at Miami, didn't play, had that one great year, kind of a one-year wonder. You think about the guy who took his place, and his number 15 was Jalen Phillips coming from UCLA, but there was the concern about durability there with him. Quiddy Pay, Michigan, didn't have the great year you would have thought. Jason Owe is the most intriguing defensive player in this draft, guys. He'll probably run the 4.3s at 260 pounds with great length. He didn't have a sack this year. Talk about an enigma. Here's a guy we think will be a great pass rusher, didn't have a sack at Penn State. So that's why, Chris, to answer your question, there's some talent there, but some of these guys weren't able to put it all together. And obviously, Gregory Rousseau opted out, didn't play. That's what pushed him down a bit.
Yeah, sometimes a premium position doesn't have the right players to fit into that mold. All right, Diana Russini, what is your question for Mel Kiper?
Mel, two questions for you. Will my husband get me a new car after I've been driving the same one for the last 20 years almost? That's my first question. And my second is, we heard what John Lynch had to say about Jimmy Garoppolo, saying he's got no doubts that he's going to be the starter. But how likely is it that the San Francisco 49ers draft a quarterback in the first round?
I think it's, I wouldn't say highly likely. I think it's certainly a possibility, depending upon whether they want to move up, Diana, to go get that quarterback, whether it's Justin Fields or whether it's Trey Lance, who I think would be ideal for what they want to do there. So I think they want to get better than Jimmy Garoppolo. The opportunity presents itself, looking past this group for other quarterbacks down the road. This group is going to be strong for that reason. They're going to go get these guys because you're not going to see it next year in that quarterback grouping. So I think a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields or somebody, if I were them, I may go up a few spots to get.
And Mel, don't bury the lead, though. Does she get the new car?
She should. Yeah. I mean, Diana, if you need it, I'll provide it for you. How's that?
Big money, Mel!
My car's got Mel. 85,000 miles on it. This thing is on its last little leg here. So I welcome
her. We'll pick out something good for you, Diana. We'll make that happen, Diana.
Mel, I need a new suit. I mean, what can we do about this? Okay, we have a minute, so I get to ask a question, too.
Your husband
and because
be
everyone expected me
Cassini.
To lose my mind when you projected the Jets to take Kyle Pitts at number four, but the reality is quite the opposite. As we watch football today, there is no more valuable piece to have on your offense than a great pass-receiving tight end. That's certainly what it looks like to me. Is this kid in that mold?
Sure.
Is he a Travis Kelce-esque kind of offensive weapon?
Special player, Greeny, and he could be the number two player on a lot of teams' boards behind only Trevor Lawrence. So I think you're right. The matchup nightmare we know about, but he's an inline tight end. He's a receiving entity. You can do a lot of things with him. They got nothing out of the tight end position the Jets did last year. And the reason why you take him over Devontae Smith, wide receiver, and Jamar Chase, wide receiver, is because you can get some really good receivers, wideouts, in round two. You're going to get nobody close to Kyle Pitts in round two. Pat Freiermuth, tight end, Penn State, is a second rounder, not in a league with Kyle Pitts. So it's a huge drop-off after Pitts. It's not it's not like you can't find a receiver that's really good in round two, round three. You can pretty much be able to find that this year, I believe, because of the depth at that wide receiver position.
Well, and I think, you know, Dan Orlovsky, Diana made the point earlier that no tight end has ever gone that high. But you were talking about how the game is changing. The game evolves constantly. And right now, Orlovsky, that position, the dominating receiving tight end, has never been more valuable.
Yeah, he's Travis Kelce. He's Travis Kelce-like of traits. And if you use him the right way, he becomes one of the more difficult players to defend in the NFL. I mean, he's going to be that good of a player. I called a couple of Florida games this year and just sitting there and going, this guy's the best player in college football outside of Trevor Lawrence. I would say this, and this is maybe another question for Mel. As much as I love Kyle Pitts, one, I don't know if he's for me. Not necessarily does the player fit for the Jets scheme-wise, but can he excel for the Jets scheme-wise? I don't know if that fits what LaFleur's brother is bringing. And two, how could they pass up Penny Sewell for Kyle Pitts? I love Kyle Pitts, but how could they pass up that elite offensive tackle?
Mel, I have 15 seconds on taking the tackle.
I think he fits what they'll do, and I think Penny Sewell doesn't have as high a grade, and he opted out. He didn't play, and I think they have a guy they drafted in the first round of Mekhi Becton at left tackle last year, so I don't think you want to get too much money at the tackle spot, go for the tight end. He's more than a tight end. He's a receiving entity.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Much more on this as the hour continues. We are jam-packed, as you can tell. On the way also, it may not be time to push the panic button yet for LeBron, but you know what? It might be close. We'll tell you why fans of the Lakers need to be very worried. And then while a contract for Dak remains at a standstill, one former Cowboy has some advice for the team, and he is not mincing words. You'll hear them next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and the game of the night in the NBA last night was something of a shocker. It's the Jazz at home against the Lakers and LeBron trying to get right, but in the second quarter, the Jazz had other ideas. That's Mike Conley knocking down a three. He was 4 of 6 from three, and the Jazz open up a 13-point lead. LeBron would get himself involved, if only briefly. Watch Rudy Gobert. Not dumb enough to get in front of that, but LeBron had just 19, and Utah in the second and third quarters just pulled away. Jordan Clarkson, a big part of that, 18 points off the bench for him. Jazz up 16 at the break, and they would not look back. Third quarter, the lead is 20. Spider Mitchell is playing free safety. Look at him with the interception, and then he chucks it up, and Gobert throws it down. Watch this one again. The Jazz a 22-point lead. Gobert had 18 points on the night. And then Mitchell, who had something of a quiet night offensively, just 4 of 16, but nothing quiet about this. Bam! He throws it down hard. Jazz would make 22 threes on the night, and they win going away, 114-89. The Jazz with a statement win. LeBron James after the game.
It's a tough stretch for us, but, this won't define who we will be for the rest of the season and for the long haul, that's for sure.
Of course, we're going to make the playoffs. I would say, you know, our whole preparation is preparing for the playoffs. You know, we see the Jazz. We know they beat our ass tonight. But, you know, in the playoffs, it's a different story.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the Lakers are now 5-5 without Anthony Davis. They've lost 4 straight. And Dennis Schroeder has missed all those games as well. But let's talk about the level of concern. And let's bring in the big fella to do it. Kendrick Perkins gets up with us early this morning. Big Perk, how worried should a fan of the Lakers be this morning?
Well, G, first, let me say this. You know how when you leave work and you go home and it's sunny outside and you get on your back patio and you take your nap back there on your lawn chair and your toes be doing this because you so cozy. That's how everybody need to relax, okay? All the Lakers fans need to relax. One thing we should know is that as long as you have LeBron James, he will not let you down. Now, I will say this. They have been without their third best player in Dennis Schroeder, who's the guy that the only guy besides LeBron James that could create for himself and others, okay? But the Anthony Davis being injured is a blessing in disguise because now the Lakers are able to reevaluate what the others bring to the table and see what they need to add. We all know that the free agent market for us guys getting bought out, the trade deadline is coming up, and I'm looking at this Lakers team, and they need to upgrade and fine-tune some things at the shooting position. Maybe go out there and get a guy like Stay Ready, and then maybe go get a shot blocker like Andre Drummond, a dynamic roller, or maybe a Hassan Whiteside. But again, look, when you're the champs, Greeny, I was the NBA champion. When you're the champ, you're going to get everyone's best shot every single night, and they are missing two of their best players along the side that they played the best team in the league, the Utah Jazz.
Are the Jazz, very quickly, because I have one other thing I want to get to. But the Jazz, because they don't have a lot of star power, don't get the kind of attention some of the others do. Is Utah the best team in the NBA right now?
Hell yeah, they are, Greeny. They are something special, and they are serious, okay? And they could easily come out of the West. They are one team that is not lacking at anything. They have rim protection and Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. They have perimeter shooting in Joe Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, Bogdanovich, Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and they have wing defenders. O'Neal is one of the most underrated guys in the league for his guarding the wings, the wing position and the guard position, and they're well coached. This team at home, unbeatable. And look, I would hate to play the Utah Jazz in the series and have to play a game 7 in Utah. This is not Stockton and Malone. This is the new generation of the Utah Jazz, and they are electrifying, and they are very dangerous.
Fair enough. Let's talk about one other guy you might hate to play against. You know, a lot of people thought you looked like a football player while you were playing basketball. I want to show you Myles Garrett playing basketball right now. Take a look. What are you doing with this fella? What are you doing with Myles Garrett when he goes down low against you, Kendrick Perkins?
Well, first of all, I'm staying up out of his way. Look at him, Green. He looks like he's about 300 pounds with 3% body fat, super athletic. And we all know that he trains martial arts. So one thing about Big Perk, I was born, but I wasn't born yesterday. I know how to pick and choose my battles. And that's one man that I'm staying away from. I tell you that much.
But you fear no man. You've told me on the show, Kendrick Perkins fears no man.
Yeah, I didn't say I feared him, Greeny, but I'm not crazy, okay? I'm not going to go out and put myself in harm's way either, all right?
Fair enough. Big Perk, thanks for getting up. Great to see you. Thank you very much. Kendrick Perkins here. The Lakers, the Jazz, and a little fun with Myles Garrett. Maybe, speaking of fun, Saturday, prime time. What a matchup we have for you on ABC. Luka and the Mavs playing the second of a three-game trip against the Nets' big three, Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 8 Eastern and 5 Pacific. Coming up here, the Texans seem to be in no hurry to move Deshaun. We'll tell you why that might be an enormous mistake. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back, and we have been enjoying just how big and spectacular looking Myles Garrett has been on the basketball court all day long. Chris Canty, I'll ask you the same question. What are you doing with this guy?
Well, athletically, I can't do anything with him. You're talking about a man that's 280 pounds and runs a 4.6. So athletically, I got nothing for him on a basketball court. But Greeny, I got some hard fouls for him. If it gets down to it, that's what I got. I got an elbow for him.
See, here's my fear. If I fouled Myles Garrett, that he might foul me back. And that could be the enemy. By the way, we shortchanged me. 5'11", my eye. I'm 5'11 and 3/4". We measured me on the air once. I will not stand for that. Okay. We'll take a break. Don't make me mad here. As we continue, no long-term deal for Dak is imminent. You will hear why one of our friends says no more waiting. He needs an extension for Prescott today. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and the franchise tag window officially opened on Tuesday, meaning the Cowboys can officially place that tag on Dak Prescott for a second season. Yesterday, here on this program, Marcus Spears had this to say about the standstill between the team and the player.
I'm so sick of hearing people say they want to get it done. You know what? I wanted to marry my wife, G. You know what I did? I put a damn ring on her finger. I wanted nice suits. So I told Jay Hilburn, make big suits for big dudes that fit and doesn't look like sheets on us. And you know how I got them? I went out and did them. The Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have been going through this song and dance for too damn long. Now it's about what Dak Prescott wants, period.
That was great fun, as only Marcus can possibly be. But there is obviously also a lot of reality in what he is saying. That was actually, that rant started because I said, you know, we can point out all the reasons this deal hasn't gotten done. And yet when you add them all together, every team manages to get their franchise quarterback signed despite those things. So, Diana, I ask you again, as I have every day for 2 years, where do we stand right now between Dak and the Cowboys?
Well, first of all, Dak may not be getting the ring from the Dallas Cowboys, but I've learned from my own experience, even if you don't get the ring from the one you want, there are plenty of fish in the sea if you are valuable. And I look at it like this for Dak Prescott. He's got all the leverage here from a business sense, right? So if he gets tagged, he's making about $38 million next year. If he hits the open market, he's going to make a lot of money because, you know, somebody is going to sign him for a long-term deal. So right now, for Dak, he can just sit back here and wait for Dallas to make the move. But Greeny, I wanted to point this out, and I was thinking about this during commercial break. One of the things I remember having a conversation with a source in Dallas last season, during the offseason, it was actually just around this time in Indy, about why they hadn't signed Dak then. And the person said to me, well, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. That's a big sticking point with Jerry. That's why he doesn't feel comfortable paying him the big bucks because he hasn't won a Super Bowl in Dallas. Of course, it turned out to be more about a contract situation in terms of the years, right? Dak wanted 4 years. The Dallas Cowboys wanted 5. Dak, of course, wanted to get back out there to make more money to hit the open market after those 4 years. But now here we stand. We're waiting to see if they're going to be able to strike a deal on a long-term deal. If they can't, the tag is obviously always an option, but they have until March 9th.
Okay, so I will say it because everyone is thinking it. Tony Romo didn't ever win Jerry Jones a Super Bowl, and I remember when Tony Romo signed a contract that made him the highest paid player in the National Football League. He did that as a player before he did it as a broadcaster. So the idea that he needs to win a Super Bowl to get the money from Jerry Jones, candidly, is ridiculous. That said, Dan Orlovsky, what should happen here?
Don't pay good players great player money. Do not pay good players great player money. Dak Prescott is a good player. If the Cowboys pay him $40 million a year, it would be a grave mistake. They need to look at a situation like the Rams or like the Philadelphia Eagles and go, uh-oh, can we learn from maybe paying a guy too much money, so to speak? And how can they not become those two teams in 2 years from now? Now, I actually texted a couple of the people that I work with at ESPN this a couple days ago. I said, If the Cowboys pay Dak $40 million, that's a huge mistake. One of those people responded back with, they're nothing without Dak Prescott. And I said, okay, let's go back to last year, 2020. And the first five games of the season, Dak Prescott started. They, in those first halves, when they started off terribly, he threw for four touchdowns and had four turnovers. Just okay, right? And then in the second half, when they were down multiple scores, he threw for 1,000 yards. That sounds like a little bit of a stat padding situation, right? Well, then let's go back to 2017 through 2019, because let's look at what the Cowboys are with Dak Prescott as a quarterback. 3-year period. That 3-year period, they're 29 and 25 as a football team. No, quarterback wins aren't everything, but that's just good, right? That's just okay. That 3-year stretch, they averaged 23 points per game, about average in the NFL. Last year, they were 6-10 without him. They were 8-8 the year before with him. Dak Prescott deserves good player money. But the Cowboys, I actually think, have been smart about this. They've managed this where they have wiggle room. They don't have the end result, but they have wiggle room and they have options. Not pay good players great player money.
I hear you. You've said that before on the show, and it's an unpopular opinion on this show, but I respect you sticking to it. But let me just ask you this, because they've now boxed themselves into a place where he's going to get paid great player money by somebody, regardless of what happens. So are you suggesting, Dan, they should just let him walk for nothing next year, or are you saying they should trade him now? Because those feel like the two options if they're not going to be the ones to give him the $40 million.
I think they set a price that they're willing to pay Dak Prescott. And they say, this is what we value at you as. This is what we think of you as. And that's the goal we want. We want to sign you to that deal. And if Dak is adamant and his reps are adamant that they want to reset the market or whatever or go $40 million, then the Cowboys, yes, should not do that. Because we know with 20% of their salary cap, I need someone to point to me the moment where Dak Prescott has taking this decimated roster or been in the MVP running or balled out at such a level where you go, yeah, we see it. He's been a good player, but not 20% worth of your cap. And so if they're going to sit there and say, we want $40 million a year just because it's the next move in the quarterback market, then yes, the Cowboys should go. Then we've got to look at other options, whether it's a sign and trade or draft a guy. That's their decision. But don't get into that situation where you all of a sudden 2 years from now go, our roster is depleted and the quarterback isn't what we thought he was.
Right. And the floor this year is $38 million, though. You see it on your screen. That's what the franchise tag is worth, regardless of what else happens. Quick reaction, Chris Canty.
Yeah, I'm with Marcus Spears on this one. And I hear what Dan is saying in terms of the strategy with the contract. But when you're going to execute that type of strategy and draw a line in the sand, you probably should have done that 2 years ago if you're Jerry Jones. Right now, Dak Prescott has all the leverage. And typically, in negotiations, the person that's willing to walk away is always going to win. And Dak Prescott has already shown us that he's more than comfortable playing on an expiring contract. This will be the third year in a row he does that. And so when we start looking at this situation, I think Jerry Jones has to come to the realization that Dak Prescott is willing to go on the free agent marketplace. Are the Cowboys willing to go through a full rebuild without a franchise quarterback? That's the question you got to ask.
And by the way, while Dan was talking, that sound you heard was Dominic Foxworth's head explode. That's what that was. Much more football as we continue.
Yeah, but Dominic and Marcus need to understand I've been right about this one, Green, for the last year and a half. Dom and Marcus need to understand.
I love the debating between these
two. I've been right about
it. I got to get to the next order of business. Stand by. I'm coming back to you, I promise. But we got a huge game tonight. 7 Eastern on ESPN. It's number 9 Iowa. It's number 3 Michigan. Iowa's got the big fellow, Luke Garza. He's sensational, 24.7 points a game. He and the Hawkeyes, though, have their hands full. Michigan, 11-1 in the Big Ten this year, and Juwan Howard has done a sensational job in his second season. Michigan seeking its first regular season title since 2014. And here is the man in the middle of it all. Jay Billis is with us here on Get Up. Thank you, Jay. And look, I watched this Michigan-Ohio State game on Sunday. To me, it was as good a game as I've seen all year long. For the folks who haven't seen them, what makes Juwan Howard's Michigan team so good?
Greeny, I think Michigan is every bit as good as Gonzaga and Baylor. We've separated those two from the field, but Michigan should be on that side of the line. The Wolverines are that good. They have size, they have length and athleticism on the wings, and they are unbelievably stable at the point guard position, which was the biggest question mark coming in. Michigan defends very well. Somebody asked me the other day, like, what does Franz Wagner do? And my answer was everything. He does everything. Great defender, excellent on offense. He cuts. Isaiah Livers is an NBA player. Hunter Dickinson's their leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading percentage shooter. And Mike Smith transferred in from Columbia. He's their point guard, leads the Big Ten in assists. And he's an outstanding player. He started off 1-for-9 from three. Since then, he's shooting 57% from behind the arc. Michigan on both ends of the floor, they are legit.
Absolutely. And that conference is so loaded. I mean, you watch them every single night. How many teams from the Big Ten could you see making like a legit Final Four-esque kind of run? How many different teams are there in that conference that we could be talking about well into March?
Well, I think there are four. Certainly Michigan, Ohio State, because they're so good offensively. Iowa, because they're so good offensively, and they've got the National Player of the Year in Luka Garza. And then I would put Illinois in there as well because of Ayo Dosunmu. They've got a Kemba Walker-like type closer in Dosunmu. So those four teams, I think, are the most likely to advance the furthest.
And we will see. Again, there's a lot of other teams that'll be in there, and we'll see if they can make themselves a run. Jay Bellis will be watching tonight. It's as good a game, as good a doubleheader as we'll have all season long. Thank you, Jay. And here it comes. I'll take another look at it. Number three, Michigan against Luka Garza, and number nine, Iowa. That's 7 Eastern, and then East Lansing, number 4, Ohio State, and Michigan State. All the action tonight for you on ESPN and the ESPN app. As we go, Cam Newton called this man dope, and he meant it as a compliment. What is the dopest thing the members of our crew have ever done? Those answers are on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by PNC Bank. We're helping to make a difference. And we are delighted that you've chosen to get up with us today. I am Greeny. That's Chris Canty. The squad is ready to go. We're with you commercial-free for the next 15 minutes here on ESPN, taking you to the top of the hour. And that's when First Take will take over. And they're talking about LeBron. Lakers crushed in Utah last night. They've lost 4 straight. Is this a midseason slump or a larger problem? They're talking about it on First Take right after we wrap up here on ESPN. Again, we are commercial-free for the next 15 minutes. And today we had the great opportunity to show you your first look at Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. And for the first time ever, Mel is projecting trades. And those are the names that you see there that are bolded. So Zach Wilson, that's a trade up with the Falcons to take him. You see Justin Fields, the 49ers going up to take him. Trey Lance, the Patriots going up to take him. And all 5 quarterbacks in the first 9 picks. As we bring the crew back into the conversation to talk about it here, a name you don't see on that list, Mel Kiper, is Dak Prescott. Or excuse me, you don't see the Cowboys on your draft taking a quarterback. But I want to go back to the conversation we were having here a moment ago, because Dan Orlovsky took a position that is quite unpopular amongst the people I normally have on, which is the Cowboys should not overpay Dak Prescott. So here, Dan, I'm just thinking this thing through. If that is indeed the strategy they want to take, then, in my opinion, they absolutely have to trade him, because he's not signing a deal for any less than that. And he will just walk away and they will get nothing in return next year. So are you advocating a sign and trade of Dak Prescott right now?
If he's going to demand $40 million a year, absolutely. Absolutely, because that's going to allocate 20% of your cap over the next 4 or 5 years to a guy that the roster that has been very good, 2016 to 2019, that was a good roster because he was so cheap. One of the benefits of having the cheap quarterback as you have so many pieces around him. Now you're going to take all that money that you use to keep that roster healthy and give it to the quarterback in a situation, and I just laid out exactly why, Greeny. In moments where he's been good, he hasn't shown us that he is going to be a great player. There's a difference. And if he's going to sit there and his reps are going to sit there and say, we've got to be at the top of the market, we've got to be the highest paid quarterback because the franchise tag is X or we're next in line, then yeah, the Cowboys should not. Because here's the question. What would make the Cowboys be different than the Eagles or the Rams that 2 years ago paid the quarterback and all of a sudden they're sitting here going, uh-oh, we're in a problem? How do they not become those two teams? So if he's going to demand that he wants to be the highest paid quarterback, then no, the Cowboys should not do that.
It's not, as I say, it's not an opinion a lot of people here have had. It's not one I have, but I respect you sticking to it. So, Mel, let me throw that into the mix here. We keep waiting sort of the Deshaun Watson is sort of hovering over all of this NFL draft. And obviously that would be a huge shakeup if something like that were to happen with the Cowboys.
Yeah, it would be. And to Dan's point, I think what he's saying is Dak's not elite. Deshaun Watson is elite. But sometimes you got to pay the really good 100%. Ones that aren't elite that kind of money that they need. And in this division, guys, if you're not going to go forward with Dak, if you do go forward with Dak first, you're ahead of the game. You got the Giants. Is Daniel Jones the right guy? They're hoping he is. The Eagles, maybe Jalen Hurts, maybe not. Washington doesn't know who their quarterback will be. If Dak's your guy and you're moving forward with him, you're ahead of the game in that division by miles. So unless Daniel Jones, you know, keeps improving and closes that gap. So I'm with Dan on him not being elite, but sometimes you got to pay these guys like they are elite. We've seen that with numerous quarterbacks in the NFL. So sometimes you just got to do it. Even though you may know he's not special and not one of the top 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks in the league, you know, maybe circumstance dictate, you got to keep him and you got to overpay him.
Further, Mel, let me just throw this back. Hold on a second, Dan, because Ed Werder came on the show the other day and said, regardless of trading him, if the Cowboys don't get a long-term deal done with Dak, they would be negligent if they don't take a quarterback at number 10 where they currently sit. Now, you don't have any of the five still sitting there, but why do you think of that? If they don't get a deal done with Dak, but he's on the tag, should the Cowboys take a quarterback?
I don't think one will be there, Greeny. I think you have to move up. You would be at 10, and you would be on that fringe of maybe being able to go up 2, 3, 4 spots to get that quarterback. Problem you run into here is it's going to be you're going to give up some draft choices to go up and get that guy, and you're still not sure if he will be what Dak Prescott already is. You just don't know. You hope that a Justin Fields and a Trey Lance and a Mac Jones will be really good, but you don't know. We know what Dak is. And I understand he's not super elite or elite, but he's a really good quarterback. And like I say, and in that division, that's not a bad thing to have. That's going to put you ahead. That's going to make you the favorite to win that division. I also think offensive line's a neat area. Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, Elijah Vera Tucker from USC would make sense. The cornerback, whether if it's not Surtain from Alabama, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. So I would rather use that pick on either a corner or an offensive lineman and have Dak as my quarterback than move Dak or do something with Dak there and have to try to figure out which quarterback do I like and which young quarterback I'm moving forward with. That would be a dangerous situation to put yourself in.
Diana Rossini, help me. If the Cowboys don't get the long-term deal worked out with Dak, and there is no reason to believe they will based on what has happened, how should we expect that to play out?
They're going to have to figure out who's going to play the quarterback position. They're going to have to do that. And in terms of what they're thinking now, the thought process when I was talking to sources with Dallas just 2 days ago was that they're going to be able to work this out either way, whether it's the tag or the long-term deal. The conversations I was having was more about what they're going to do with that 10th pick. And it's more in the direction of what Mel was just talking about with the offensive line, which, you know, you think about Dallas, we don't talk about them needing an offensive line. It's been a while because they've always been so great there, but we saw so many injuries last year. So in terms of the organization, the sense I'm getting from those that are working in scouting and in coaching right now, it's that this is going to get hammered out.
Canty, what do you think?
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, here's the thing. We're talking about this negotiation. It really isn't a negotiation. This is a stick-up by Dak Prescott because he has so much leverage. It's no gun, no mask. Put the money in the bag. At this point, why would Dak settle for a deal that's below market when he's only one season away from true free agency in the market being able to command over $40 million a year? It doesn't make sense for Dak Prescott to settle for a team-friendly deal. If Jerry Jones wanted something like that, he would have done it a couple of seasons ago, just last week. The San Diego Padres paid Fernando Tatis Jr. 4 years before they had to and gave him $340 million. Do you know why? Because it gave them the flexibility to be able to spread that hit of their payroll over 14 years. If the Cowboys were so concerned with the structure in the salary cap, they would have done this deal years ago.
Dan, I'll give you the final word. Go.
Baseball doesn't have a salary cap, so that's why Tatis can you pay him whatever you want. I'm not saying Dak Prescott should play for $20 million. Do I think that Dak can look? Because here's the thing. Chris, you know this. You go into the NFL as a young player with one goal. Get to a second contract. Now, that second contract is going to always be different for guys. We know that's going to happen for Dak Prescott. He has earned a ton of money. So now the question is, does Dak just want to get a ton of money? Like, that's it? Because once you, as a good quarterback, take a ton of money from your football team success. It's never happened in the NFL. So Dak can ask himself, maybe I will take less than what the market demands, but still get a ton of money and go, what Patrick did, another offensive lineman. Go get us a better defense. That's what I'm saying. You're a good player. Take a really good contract, not the greatest that you can, so you could win a ton of games. Because the last 3 years, you're 29 and 25 as a football team.
I'm being told that someone has tweeted back. It's Tad Prescott. Tad Prescott has tweeted. That is Dak's brother. Dan Orlovsky saying he's been correct about Dak. Bro, what's your stand on Dak? You badmouthed him for years in favor of your boy Wentz and then favored Dak over Wentz. I have proof. Today you're back to your old ways. Just make up your mind already. Tad Prescott has responded to things on our show multiple times. Go ahead, Dan.
One, I've never badmouthed Dak Prescott. I've literally said since day one, he's a good player. That's not badmouthing the guy. I've said he's a remarkable dude. Everything I hear about him is he's a great leader. But my job is to be as honest as what my eyes tell me to be. He's not great. He's not elite. No, he's good. The second thing is I've never flip-flopped. I think Carson Wentz is a more talented player. I think he's a guy that has, one, been in the MVP conversation. Dak has not that late in the season. Two, he's carried a depleted roster. Dak has not. Those are facts. And I don't know if Dominique Foxworth or Marcus Spears wrote that tweet for Tad, but the reality is I've never badmouthed him. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he should be the highest paid quarterback in football.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. We will settle all of this as we go because we have something fun we want to finish the show with today. And if it is the last thing I do, I'm getting this in because it was a great idea. And it started with the I Am Athlete podcast. Cam Newton said of Bill Belichick, the last thing in the world you expected anyone to say of Bill Belichick, he said, quote, Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of sports. He is dope as blank. Now, as we went and tried to find video that would demonstrate the dopeness of Bill Belichick, this was the best we could come up with. 2009, that is Bill dressed as a pirate and rollerblading at Randy Moss's Halloween party. That was the dopest thing we could find from Bill Belichick. But the staff did some homework yesterday with the members of our team today, and we have asked each of you to name for us the dopest thing you've ever done. So, Canty, I'm starting with you. What is the dopest thing you've ever done?
Well, I was torn between two things in my time in the NFL. One was a kick six that I had in 2007 with the Dallas Cowboys. At that point in the game, it was a tied ball game. Blocked the field goal. My teammate, Pat Watkins, picks it up, houses it. Yeah, they got to put the cape on there. There's a little Superman.
I like it. Look at you.
That's it. And number two, Greeny, I got to go with this one. After we won Super Bowl 46 against the Patriots, we got to the airport after the Patriots had arrived and already started boarding. And they, at the airport, allowed us to board our charter and take off first. And they held the Patriots flight. So that was an opportunity to hang on the rim a little bit after we got the ring.
Oh, my goodness. That is something else. That is pretty dope. All right, I like it. Dan Orlovsky, what is the dopest thing you've ever done?
Using the word differently here, the dopest thing I ever did was obviously run out of the back of the end zone in an NFL game, in a game that we lost 12-10 for a safety. This was a very much so dope play that I get reminded of consistently. But then another dope thing was the very next week. The very next week, we were on the road against the Houston Texans, and we were backed up on the 3-yard line, very similar situation, and I threw a 97-yard touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson. A pretty dope response. Like Chris, I'll have two. The other dope thing I did, I made triplets.
Those are Dan's four kids.
I'm sure the boys, you did a lot of work for that, Dan. A lot the boys of work are for all those triplets. Beautiful children.
And you know what,
so
Dan? I think Mike you drop. Have a legitimate beef with our staff now, because somehow we had video of you running out of the end zone, but we didn't have you video of you throwing the 96-yard touchdown the following week.
So
I think that should be an issue you take up with
them. Better than you guys.
Diana, what is the dopest thing you've ever done?
All right, Greeny, exactly 1 year ago, at least 1 year ago, Eve, I went to bed, turned my ringer off by accident when my little sister, who was 9 months pregnant at the time, went into labor. And I promised her I would be in the delivery room. So when I woke up, I just had 10 missed calls and text messages from her husband going, it's happening, where are you? I flew to the airport. I drove as fast as I possibly could. I got there. Her baby son, Luke, was born. But what happened was there were a couple of complications, so she was in surgery, so she never got to meet her son, Luke, and he was taken into a room, and I snuck into the hospital, into the doors where you're not supposed to go, and I was the first person ever to meet baby Luke, who's turning one today. And so to me, I broke a lot of rules, I'm sure some HEPA, health, all these other rules, but it was so worth it to meet him. It was the best day of my life.
That is a pretty dope thing. I like that story a lot. Am I told that Mel has one? Mel, what's the dopest thing you've ever done?
Oh, I'm one for one on the kids. Lauren's going to be 26 on March 6th. I got a beautiful, talented daughter, Lauren Kuiper, so proud of that. One for one in the kid department, guys.
Okay, very well done. That's going to make mine seem a little self-aggrandizing, but I think I will finish it up by saying by far the dopest thing I ever did was a dance that I did once with Anna Trebunskaya. Oh, we have the Kelly Ripa video. I didn't know we had that. I hosted with Kelly Ripa. I hosted this show. Michael Strahan over me. I still haven't quite gotten over that, but whatever. So I hosted that show with her three times.
Fresh
and
shaved.
Then I did this. I danced with Anna Trebunskaya, paying off a bracket wager. Go ahead, Diana. How's the dancing? Give me a little rundown on the dancing.
I cannot believe how you look. You look so, you shimmied. I didn't know you had that
it's
in you.
Not bad.
You are the most underrated athletic person at ESPN.
Keep talking. We still have 30 seconds. Keep talking about how underrated my athleticism is. I'm standing next to Chris Canty. He's 6'8", 330 pounds.
I don't know if we can call that dancing.
Look,
that
is
dancing.
Hosting.
I don't know if we can
call
that.
Kelly,
what does that mean?
I don't know what that is, but I know that's not dancing.
That is dancing. And that is, look at the finish.
That's amazing.
Look at that. Come on. That is spectacular.
That's a sixth round effort, Greeny.
Give us a shimmy. Give us a shimmy, Greeny.
I think we have all decided that this is one dope group. Thank you very much for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.